Okay. Hebrews. I was reading in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 last week. And as I was reading through it, I saw there was a lot of places where Paul was vitally concerned about the believers' faith. Right? And I think he mentions that we're actually not even going to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 today. But so I call this, he was concerned about them keeping their faith and maintaining their faith. So I call this faith maintenance part one. So we're not going to get to Thessalonians. But in Hebrews, we've looked at this verse many times in the last few fellowships. We might as well start there again. Hebrews 11, verse 6. It says, but without believing or faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, number one, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Right? We as believers should be vitally concerned about our ability to believe God. Right? That should be something that we are very, very much concerned about, something that we should want to work on, if you will, something that we should know where we're at with, and something that we should be able to gauge progress in an area. How much do we believe God, right? I don't mean how much do we say we believe God, but how much do we believe God, right? Are we still affected by what we've called the enemies of believing, like doubt, worry, fear, and there are others as well. But those are some of the key ones we've looked at. Right? Are we still affected by them? Or are we able to believe God? Do we act on what we know from God's word to be true? If we've seen something in God's word and then we go to it, do we now act like that is now true in our lives? Right? Do we believe what that word says? When we pray with thanksgiving to God, does the peace of God really keep our hearts and minds, right? Like the word says, with the peace that God gives. Does that really happen? Or are we still as worried, doubtful, intrepidation, anxious after we've prayed? Because it doesn't matter what you do, right? If you don't believe when you do it, you don't get the benefits of it, right? But without believing, right, it is impossible to please him. It's impossible to see the results in our lives, right? Nothing works in life without believing, right? It just doesn't work, right? We get blessed by things, yes, I know, understand God's grace, and he blesses us well beyond, you know, what we could ask or think. In ways like, you know, we were praying today, I think it was Peter, you praying about how, you know, even things we don't see, like the little things, we don't even see some things. Yeah, God blesses us above and beyond. But when it comes to the things that we're looking to in God's word, nothing works without believing. Mark chapter 15. So we're just going to look at what the word of God says, Matthew, about faith or believing, as we've come to call it, Matthew 15. Verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So there was an obstacle for this woman right there, right? She wanted to believe, but there was an obstacle right there. Then came she, verse 25, worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. I'm not sent to you. It's not right, right? Or it's not what I'm supposed to be doing. Another obstacle, right? She could have, the first obstacle, she could have said, oh, well, I tried. Walked away. This obstacle, she could have said, clearly I'm not going to get what I want. So she could have walked away. Right? That's not believing, is it? Right? You see, you got to watch the woman here. Watch her believing, right? And verse 27, and she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table." She said, "Listen, Lord, I'll take the crumbs. Right? I'll take them. I'll take whatever." That's believing, right? She didn't stop as soon as there was some kind of obstacle, right? Which sometimes, you know, we can do. You know, we believe, we're trying to believe something in God's word, and we look at it, and then something comes up, and we say, "Oh, well, we tried," right? Here, she didn't stop, right? And verse 28, then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is," Jesus Christ was marvelous. He said, "Great is thy believing," right? "Be it unto thee even as thou wilt," and her daughter was made whole from that very same hour, right? Mark 9. And how do we know that the believing in that case was genuine? She got the result, right? She got the exact result that she wanted. She was believing. And as I mentioned earlier, it's not just saying, "Oh, I believe God," you know. We can all say that. But there are a lot of records in the Word of God that talk about that kind of thing. Remember Jesus Christ said, "In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines that command me, on their heart is far from me." Their heart was not near them. It says in Romans that there's supposed to be joy and peace in believing. If I have a need in my life or some area that I'm looking at, and I've prayed to God and gone to Him, and I still am not joyful or peaceful about it, then I am not believing Him. Because the Word of God says I'm supposed to have joy and peace in believing. Right? As soon as you know that it's a done deal, it's done. That's it. So why not have the joy and the peace that comes from believing God? It reminds me of that record in Joshua where God said, "Look, every foot, every place that your foot will step, I have given to you." Right? He hadn't gotten there yet, but he could believe that and be peaceful about it and walk out. And that's exactly what believing is. When God's word says this is true, that's it. And you can act like it says, not act, but act on that as it already has happened, right? And that's believing. Mark 9:14. And when he saw, this is a great record. This is a very confronting record. 9:14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What question you with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not." They couldn't do it. He answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him straightway, the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, "How long is it ago since this came unto him?" And he said, "Of a child. And oftentimes it had cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him." But, and here's the statement that is very confronting, right? "But if thou canst do anything," right, "have compassion on us and help us," right? Ever find yourself saying to God, "Oh God, why don't you help me?" Did you ever say that to him? Right. Isn't that exactly what God was saying here? Right. I love his response. Jesus Christ's response is pretty incredible, right? Jesus said unto him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." Like, he didn't say, "Oh, I'm sorry, I understand your situation, I understand where you came from." The guy was saying, "Look, if you can do anything." It's like saying, "Why aren't you doing something?" Right? It's a very subtle thing in life where I call the teaching faith maintenance, right? What are the things in our faith, our believing, that we need to be concerned about or conscious of in what we do? If I go to God and say, "God, why don't you help me?" What am I saying to him? It's your fault. And here, Jesus Christ, and he didn't get angry at the guy. He said, "Look, if you can believe, all things are possible. Because as far as God's word is concerned, if God's word says it, guess what? It's done. It's a done deal. It is totally available. There is nothing. God will not stop it from coming to pass because he said it. Right? So, if we want to maintain our faith or to actually believe God, we should never blame God for our lack of believing. Right? Better to find out why we aren't believing in a situation. What is it? That was the exact reason why I started looking at this in the Word. I said, listen, I need to understand, Father, where is it in the Word? Where is it? What can you show me from your Word that explains how to, you know, look at believing and understand it better so that we can believe you more, right? Because he's not saying, okay, I'm going to just hold it really, really tight so they can't believe. No. That's what this guy was saying. Look, if you can help me. So first of all, he doubted that he could do it. And then he was saying, why aren't you doing it, right? And all Jesus Christ replied was saying, look, if you can believe, right? All things are possible to him that believeth. Verse 24, and straight away we see what happens, right? Luke 17. The word of God is true. It is true. It needs no changing. It needs no embellishment. It needs no deletions. It is true. Luke 17, verse 5. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Right? They said, we want more believing. Right? Increase our faith. I love the response. What does he say? And the Lord said, if you had faith. First, just think about it. If you had faith in the first place, he said, as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Right? He didn't say, well, I know you've got a little bit, and let's cause that. He just said, if you believed. It's not the amount, it's believing. See, his response was, it's not the amount of it, it's do you believe or don't you? Because he said, if you had just that much, that would cause that tree to be plucked up and go. You know, that's interesting to me. There's a record in, just hold your finger here and go to Acts chapter 14. Acts 14. This is encouraging to me. Because to me, what it indicates is that, you know, if I've not seen the result that the word promises to me in a certain area, then it's only a little, really, literally a thought away, right? Because I don't have to wait for 20 years to grow this thing. All I got to do is believe it, right? In Acts 14, it's an interesting record, verse 7, yeah. Acts 14, verse 7, and there they preached the gospel, and there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never had walked. That's a long. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him that and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. So Paul saw something about this man. He could see that he had the believing to be healed. Do you think that Paul worked with this man for many years to get him to the point where he could say, "Yeah, I see that"? I doubt it. I don't. You know. Doesn't say in the word, but here all it says is he perceived that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet, and he leaped and walked. Right? See, all it took for that man was to believe. I don't think he went on a, you know, a 15-week seminar every day to get to the point. Okay, eventually I'm going to psych myself up to the point that I'm going to just get to that point. All he had to do was believe. That's it. As soon as he did it, guess what happened? He could walk again. Sometimes you got to sit down and just really think. I'm sure you have, but you know, I do in my office. I sit there and think about that. I said, wow, you know, here he was, some point of never having walked, and all it took was for him to believe once. Done. Right? That's why when they asked him, increase our faith, let's go back to Luke, increase our faith, what did he say? Just believe. Right? Because, see, sometimes we, you know, again, faith maintenance, this is what this is called, right? Sometimes we think, well, if I kind of grow it in this area. I'm going to, you know, and yeah, we need to hear, it's good to hear God's word, and we believing comes by hearing the word of God. I understand that. But, and that's good for us because it encourages us and builds our confidence. But as far as believing is concerned, as soon as you believe, it's done. Right. That's it. John 5. I did you a favor here, just going in order. John 5. Yeah, my amazing research abilities in God's word. This is the approach that I use to look at every use of the word faith in the New Testament in order. That's it. It's not complicated, but as you do that, as you read through, you start seeing, you know, if you're looking at, remember, I find when you study the word, when you're looking for a certain way of a certain thing, like this case, what I was looking for was, where does it say in the word about maintaining our faith? Or in other words, what needs to be tweaked or changed or modified, if you know what I'm saying, to believe God? And that's what I was looking for. You start seeing all kinds of things that are related to that topic if you're going through. You may go through the word, ever use the word faith in the New Testament for another reason, and you'll see other things. God's word is so, you know, it's such a, such great depth. It's so much, such great depth. In John 5:39, here's a great little thing. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify me, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Basically, he was saying to them, you guys go to the word of God, in there that says that, you know, I have eternal life, but you won't come to me. He was a little annoyed at them. I receive not honor from men, verse 41, but I know you that you have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe? I said, wow, there's a great thing to think about. So what is Jesus Christ going to confront here to show them that why they were not believing? That's something in the area of faith maintenance, wouldn't you say? Something that would help. So what does he say? How can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Right? Am I more concerned about what you think about me? Right? And whether I believe or not? Or am I more concerned about what God thinks of me? Right? Remember that record in the synagogue? They had that guy and they wouldn't confess that their son had been healed. Why? Because they were put out of the synagogue because they loved the praise of, you know, God, man more than God. In that kind of situation, Jesus Christ says, how can you then believe? Right? So one thing for us to recognize from that, I ought to be more concerned about what God thinks of me and what the Word of God then trying to, you know, say, well, look at what a great believer you are, what a great believer I am. This guy will be so impressed by what I did and all that. Forget about it, right? Our life is not in front of one another. I mean, we were praying, someone's praying about our wonderful family and great to be part of a family, you know. We're not here to judge one another and to, you know, to discourage one another and to compare ourselves one with another, right? That's not the point of the body of Christ. You know, if that ever happens, we need to stop that from happening, right? Our goal is to help one another, right? If you have a problem believing, then I ought to help you. If I have a problem believing, you ought to help me, right? If you've got a problem, that's the whole point of the family. It's not a comparison thing. So here, it's great. Jesus Christ confronts it. How can you believe, right? So if it helps me to believe, to think only what God thinks of me and to live my life in front of Him, that's a good thing to know, right? I thought it was kind of neat. In John 14, this is a great verse. You guys all know it. But here's something to keep in mind when it comes to maintaining our faith or believing God. It's good to remember verses like this and to keep them at the forefront of our mind. 14:12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. Boy, that's a promise. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. So if I ask something in his name, and the word of God says this is possible to ask for, and it doesn't get done, I got to not go to God and said, why didn't you do it, Father? I can't. You cannot go there, right? We cannot afford to go there. I can't say, oh, someone's going to think badly of me because I couldn't believe. I can't go there either, because we just learned it's not about living in front of you and me, right? It's in front of Him, right? We ought to be more blessed when something happens to, when, I know we are, you know, when something happens to one of us in the fellowship or the body of Christ anywhere in the world, someone gets blessed, we ought to be more thrilled than anybody, you know, that happened to them. Or if someone gets hurt, it ought to bother us, right? And that's the body of Christ, to encourage one another to believe. But this is great, you know, this is a great verse. So when you're praying or think, remember in the back here, but what does it say? Jesus Christ said, if I ask anything, you know, He's going to do it. Wow, what a great, John 20, a few more, John, that's why I had to make it Faith Maintenance Part 1, we won't get that far today, John 20, John 20, 30, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. He didn't record this thing here in the Word of God as some historical record. Right? He didn't just say, I'm going to write down a bunch of things here. People will be able to read it and say, oh, it wasn't Jesus cool who did this, this, and this, and then do essays on the history of Jesus. No, He wrote this so you could believe. God is concerned about His people believing Him, and that's why He had the Word of God recorded. He said, I had this recorded that you might believe, and have life through His name. God is concerned about me and you believing Him, right? He wants us to believe Him. And when we believe Him, we act like we believe Him. Not just say we believe Him, but we act like we believe Him, right? He's concerned about it. Acts 20. That's, you know, it's a great thing to remember when teaching kids, right? We want our kids, I want our kids to go away, not a period after that sentence, right? I want our kids to go away from the home to their own lives eventually, and I know that they believe God, right? Then I'll be a lot more peaceful in my mind, knowing that they believe Him. When they have a problem, they go to God. When they have a need, they pray to God. When they go and they constantly go to Him until they get the answer the Word of God promises. Right? Then that's it. Then I'm happy. Right? And that's the whole point of learning to believe God, right? Is that once you believe God, I mean, is He there all the time? Is He there today? Will He be there tomorrow? You know, Jesus Christ said, don't worry about tomorrow. Just deal with today. The Lord will be there. God will be there tomorrow too. Don't worry about it. Right? Every single day. Just believe God. Acts 17, Paul was concerned also in 2017. And from Miletus, he sent, this is on his way back, and he called all the elders over to him. And from Miletus, on his way back to Jerusalem. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have shown you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, Paul said, I did everything I possibly knew to do when I was with you that you guys would have believing towards our Lord Jesus Christ. That was his goal. He said, I want you guys to believe God. I want you to believe concerning Jesus Christ, have faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And he worked day and night. You know, this is not the only time he says that kind of thing, but why? Not that they could, you know, quote 50 verses of Scripture and not believe a single one, right? It's good to be able to quote 50 verses of Scripture and to believe them all. Not that they just knew things, but that they believed God, right? That they believed him in Romans chapter 1. It's interesting what he says here. And we'll close in Romans. chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated of the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are you also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, look what he does here. What does he thank God for? First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your what? Faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Right? What were they saying? Oh man, those guys, those Romans, they really believe God. Right? And he said, I thank God that that's what people say about you. They really believe God. Not some ministry, not just some fellowship either, but God. Right? They believe God. That's what he thanked God for. Verse 9, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I have mentioned of him always my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey. He was praying to get to them by the will of God to come unto you. Why? For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established in what? That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. He wanted to establish or strengthen them regarding what? Their faith, right? He wanted to see that they were believing God. You see how it is, I mean, a man like, man of God like Paul, like he traveled a lot of places, right? It must have been a comfort to him when he came, and it is, you see it in the epistles, must have been a comfort to him when he goes to a place and sees, they believe God. My work is done here, right? So to speak. Some places where, remember, they didn't even get to Jesus and crucified. That's all as far as they got. They didn't really get beyond, but when they believed, you know, wow, this is great. They believed God. Then he was comforted. Because as soon as you go to him, right, there's no structure, no organization, no anything like that. You go directly to the fountainhead of truth. God, right? The fountain of living waters, as we learned this week with the kids. Fountain of living waters, right? Where you, then you're good. In verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. If you remember this, look at that. It says, God gave the word, faith to faith, the just live by faith. God gave the word to believe, so we might believe it, because we live by believing. Can you make it any clearer? He gave the word to believe, so we could believe it, because we live by believing God. And finally, Romans chapter 4. Here's another wonderful key in what I call faith maintenance. In Romans 4, about Abraham, verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, God, Abraham, believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Another way of saying what believing is, right? Where you can say it is because the word of God says it, and that's believing. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in believing or faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, and neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in believing, giving glory to God. This is a great, great principle in faith maintenance, right? Or maintaining faith, or having faith, however you want to say it. So it didn't happen for Abraham right away, did it? What the promise didn't happen right away. He staggered not the promise of God. What allowed him not to fall into unbelief? One thing was he gave glory to God, you know. So you get up every day and you say, you know, God, there's certain areas of my life that I have, you know, I've talked to you about. But boy, I sure am thankful. You know, Patrick, you prayed earlier. And I sure am thankful that you give us sun and rain every day. I sure am thankful, God, that you're the one who provides the food that I have every day. Sure, I'm grateful that, you know, we're part of a wonderful family that loves me, takes care of me, prays for me. I'm sure thankful, God. You see, you can just go on and on, right? Who do you glorify by that? You glorify God. So he staggered not, but was giving glory to God. If I say, why don't you do that for me? That's not glorifying God. That's doubting him, right? Or if I say to him, you know, if I say, well, you know, I because of this, or make excuses for my life, that's putting emphasis on me, my pride, right? But what did Abraham do? He glorified God. That was what he did every day. You know, it's probably well worth looking at Abraham's life, because here it says that he was strong in believing. He was called the friend of God. He glorified God. You know, something bad happens to you, and it happens to us. We know that, right? Because the final salvation hasn't taken place yet. Well, I can choose to deal with that in a couple of different ways. I can say, why did you let that happen to me, God? You know? Or the other thing I can do is say, what's wrong with me? Again, me, right? First one is, why did you let it happen to me? Second one is, why did it happen to me? Both are me. Or I can say, Father, you know, I'm sure thankful that you're always with me. I'm sure thankful the Lord's coming back. I'm sure grateful that you had the Lord die for me. And you can go down a whole list, and you ought to have a list in our head of things to go down when these things happen. That's glorifying God. That's being thankful. That's what Abraham did. As a result, and what was the result? Verse 21, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. That's it. The Word of God says it, and Abraham said, that's it. Did it happen today? No. Word of God says it. That's it. Thank you for this day, God. Thank you for blessing me. Thank you for providing food for me. Thank you for my clothing. I'm really grateful to you. You know, I'm so thankful you're always with me. You know, and us for with speaking in tongues. Boy, it's not even easier to do, right? Just speak in tongues and be thankful and just go about your daily business and glorify him, right? Right. So we'll stop there this week. And we'll look at it a little more next week.